God, our Heavenly Father, bless us tonight as we think of this sermon and this truth. I pray you to help me tonight to be used of Thee to help somebody, yea, many somebodies, prevent backsliding. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be a bit frank tonight in some things I say, not to hurt anybody, but I'm going to give you some very frank statements. The hardest time to be a good Christian is in the summertime. I said the hardest time to be a good Christian is in the summertime. Now, there are many reasons. One reason is you're tempted to take off half your clothes and lay out on a beach like a corpse, getting medium well done. And then another thing, it's almost impossible for a normal, red-blooded American male to go out in public without being besieged by half-naked women. And there are many reasons, but that's not the thing I'm going to talk about tonight unless I see certain people looking a certain way. The hardest time to pastor a church is in the summertime. What do you call these little things? Chiquitas? Is that what you call these little? Cicadas. Yeah. Cicada? I'd like to be one of those things for summer. I'd like to hibernate all summer long and then come back and start buzzing again in the fall. At the hardest time, more people get upset in the summertime. For 43 summers, I've been pastoring. And it's harder. People don't have their minds on the things of God. People going and coming on vacation, and it's so hard. And it's hot, and folks are tired, and folks get a little upset with each other, a little upset with me, and I get upset. But anyway, it's hard to pastor a church. More people backslide in the summertime than any other part. More marriages have trouble in the summertime than any other time. I'm going to be quite frank with you, and you won't agree with this, but I don't care. I do not believe in the summer vacation from school. I don't believe in the philosophy of that. And I don't believe in it. Now, I realize I didn't make any friends then. But if I just keep two or three along every once in a while, it'd be fine. But I want to say this. You are a potential backslider. I don't care who you are. You are a potential backslider. One of the finest men we have in this church asked me a question Friday night. He said, "Brother Hiles, how can I guarantee that I won't be a disgruntled someday? How can I guarantee that I won't be a disgruntled someday?" You are a potential backslider. If Noah could backslide and get drunk, take off all his clothes, and commit a sin that placed a curse upon his grandson, it just may be that you could backslide also. If David, the man after God's own heart, could take a day off, and because of that he could backslide and commit the sin with Bathsheba and the sin against Uriah, it just may be that you could backslide. If Samson, about whom it is said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, perhaps more than about any other man in the Old Testament, if he could backslide, you could backslide. If Jacob, the son of Isaac, and the grandson of Abraham, the man of faith, if Jacob could backslide for 20 years and be outside the will of God and waste most of his life, then you could backslide. If the first named of all the apostles, anytime you find the apostles listed, starts off with Peter, James, and John, and so forth. Peter's always mentioned first. In the inner circle, it's always Peter, James, and John. Never James, John, and Peter. It's always Peter, James, and John. If the first pope, Peter, could backslide, it just may be that you might could backslide. In fact, that's what the object of it, that was the result of his backsliding. He became the first pope. If James and John could backslide and could want the seat and the kingdom on the right hand and the left hand of our Savior, it just may be that you could backslide. If John Mark could backslide, on his first missionary journey, the man who penned for us the Gospel of Mark, it may be that you could backslide. If Barnabas, who could have been one of the greatest men in the Bible, If Barnabas could backslide, it may be that you could backslide. Now, why do we backslide? Now, follow me carefully. The main reason we backslide, in my opinion, we lose our rhythm. Are you listening now? We lose our rhythm. We lose our rhythm. The great key to life is to keep the rhythm going. You folks that know basketball, you know that a team can get on what they call a run. A basketball team, especially a professional basketball team, can make 15, 20 points just like that. They get in a certain kind of a rhythm. Now, you basketball fans, what does the coach do when a team is on a run like that? What's the other coach do? He calls timeout. What's he trying to do? He's trying to break that rhythm. Because if that rhythm isn't broken, that team will get so far ahead that the game is lost. And so he tries to break the rhythm. That's what the devil does to you when you get on a run, too. The devil wants to break your rhythm. He wants to break that rhythm, that habit kind of living, that discipline kind of living. And in the summertime, he breaks your rhythm more than any other time. Now, if you don't watch it, you'll lose your rhythm in the summertime, and you'll end up backsliding. That's why sometimes a fellow's batting in baseball, and the pitcher is pitching well, and what happens? The batter will step out of the batter's box. Now, why does he step out of the batter's box? He wants to break the rhythm of the pitcher. And that's what the devil's trying to get you to do. I was thinking a while ago about going to camp, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, and I'm going to preach the last of my sermon right now. But I was thinking about going to camp. Going to camp, if you depend on going to camp to make you spiritual, you won't be spiritual. But if you depend on going to camp to teach you some habits that you'll do all year long, then you'll be spiritual. The purpose of coming to church is not to make you spiritual. The purpose of coming to church is to teach you things that will keep you a certain kind of a rhythm where all week long you can walk with God and be spiritual. And the devil wants to break your rhythm, and that's what he'll do. And more people break their rhythm in the summertime than any other time. This is what Satan does. Satan gets us to call time out. The ark is finished. For all these years now, Noah has worked on the ark. He's in a rhythm. And worked on the ark all these years. Now all of a sudden, we find Noah out drunk. We find Noah with no clothes on. And we find his son coming and looking upon his nakedness and perhaps even committed some homosexual act with him. Now what happened to Noah? Why did Noah backslide? Hey, this is a preacher of righteousness. This is the man who built the ark. This is one of the dozen greatest men in all the Bible. Now, why is Noah drunk? Tell you exactly why he's drunk. Noah's no longer working on the ark. He lost his rhythm. As long as Noah was working on that ark, he was all right. Because he needed to have that rhythm. He goes to work, same time, works on the ark, same, quits at the same time, goes home, goes back to work, works on the ark, quits the same time, goes home. He's got that rhythm. He's in the right rhythm. He has self-discipline. But Noah loses his rhythm, and he gets drunk. David is in a battle, and David has a good rhythm going, a man after God's own heart. But what great mistake did David commit? Oh, you say David committed adultery. That wasn't the great mistake David committed. That wasn't a great sin David committed. No. Well, what's the great sin? Oh, I know what he did. He killed Uriah. No, that's not the thing that ruined David. The thing that ruined David is taking a day off. Bible said the kings went forth to battle and David stayed home. Now listen to me, David was in this rhythm. He was going to battle. It's time to go to battle. David stayed home, saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And nowadays, he'd be watching an R-rated movie or an X-rated movie. In fact, all movies are R-rated as far as I'm concerned. And R stands for rotten. Anyway, I'm saying that David lost his rhythm. Why Bathsheba? David lost his rhythm. Why Uriah? David lost his rhythm. Why was David's life wrecked? He lost his rhythm. Naomi and Elimelech decide to take a vacation. The Bible calls the word sojourn. They went down to Moab to take a vacation. And they took their two boys with them into Moab, Mahlon and Chilion. But the Bible said they stayed for 10 years, but something happened while they were there. In the first place, their boys got married. They married heathen women. Don't you expect hang around Moab and let your boys and girls marry Moabites. And so they married Moabite's women. In the second place, Mahlon and Chilion, the boys died. In the third place, Elimelech died. Now Naomi, for 10 years, is down there. And now, when she came back home after 10 years, they said, "Is this Naomi? Is this?" She said, "Don't call me Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara, because Mara means bitter, because the Lord had dealt very bitterly with me." Now, why was Malan taken? Why did the boys marry heathen women? Why was Elimelech taken? Why did Naomi stay for 10 years? Tell you exactly why. She lost her rhythm. Now, you listen to me. You're not a hotshot. And you're not a Christian you think you are. And you'd be surprised how important it is for your Christianity if you just decide every Sunday morning you're going to be in Sunday school. And every Sunday night morning you're going to be in church service. And every Sunday night you're going to be in church. And every Wednesday night you're going to be in church. You live by schedule. You live by habit. When Jesus chose to call His New Testament followers by name, He did not call them Christians. The Christians were not called, God's people were not called Christians until in Antioch. And Jesus never called us Christians. He called us disciples. He called the name He chose to call His followers was disciple. What does that mean? Disciplined ones. Disciplined ones. Disciplined ones. Those who are disciplined. Those that do the same thing. And those who are in a rhythm. And those that do what they're supposed to do because they're supposed to do it, not because they tingle. Wouldn't give you a dime for the chance of a person to make it who serves God because he feels good. Ah, but a person serves God because he's supposed to serve God. A person prays because he's supposed to pray. A person reads the Bible because it's time to read the Bible. A person goes soul winning because it's time to go soul winning. A person lives by schedule and lives by habit and does what he's supposed to do. That's the Christian's going to hang around. Naomi, Elimelech, take a vacation. And that breaking of their rhythm caused their entire lives to be wrecked for 3 years. Peter had walked with Jesus. He had seen Him raise the dead, cast out devils, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, cause the dumb to speak, and the dead to live, and the lame to jump and leap like a hart. Peter had walked with Him. Peter had been inside the inner circle with Peter, James, and John. He had seen people healed. He had gone upon the Mount of Transfiguration. Every day he was with Jesus. Now then, all of a sudden, Peter curses and swears. I don't belong to that group. I don't belong to that church. And by the way, brother, that's exactly what a lot of people do right now. A fundamental church, I don't care where it is, it's going to have a stigma on it. And the fundamental church is going to be hated by the liberal churches. And the fundamental church is going to be criticized out where you work. And Peter did not want to be associated with the fundamental church because it wasn't very popular. Bless God, I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and let the devil do what he wants to do and say what he wants to say, and let the heathen rage. Thank God I belong to First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Peter denied the church, denied the Lord. Why? Tell you why. He had lost his rhythm. For 3.5 years, he had been with Jesus. 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 And now Jesus is taken. He lost his rhythm. And in so doing, Peter backslid. Jacob loses his rhythm. He goes back home for a visit. He stays for 20 years. He lost his rhythm. He lost his self-discipline. He lost his habit living. And habit living, like, wherever the house, said, if you don't have your heart in it, it's just as bad not to do it as it is to do it and without your heart in it. Somebody sold you a wooden nickel. You got bats in your belfry, rooms for rent upstairs, apartments for rent, condominiums for rent upstairs. It's as bad to think it as it is to do it. Oh, shut up. It's not either. Not as bad to want to kill somebody as it is to kill somebody. Not as bad to want to get drunk as it is to get drunk. I'm simply saying that Peter lost his rhythm. Jacob lost his rhythm. And for 20 years away from God. For 20 years, he backslid. Why? Because I believe there's a certain place where you can be more spiritual than another place. And Jacob left that place and lost his rhythm and lost his self-discipline and backslid. A young person graduates from high school. That's a serious time in your life. Many people backslide that first few months after they graduate from high school. Why? They've lost their rhythm. They were in the nursery every Sunday, back to church on Sunday night. Back to church on Wednesday night, and then the beginner department every Sunday, and then the primaries, and then the juniors, then the junior high, then the high school. But now they've graduated. They no longer have the Christian school. They no longer have a departmental superintendent. They no longer have a high school Sunday school teacher. And they lost their rhythm. Young people, watch it carefully. Just as soon as you get out of high school, you young folks that graduated this year, you get yourself in a spiritual habit as quickly as you can.
Get yourself a rhythm. Pray at the same time every day. Go soul winning the same time every week. Read your Bible the same time every day. Get yourself in a rhythm. That's the spiritual people. Those are the spiritual people. And all these folks that get high during revival, and I'm not against that, but a revival meeting is not to make you feel high. A revival meeting is to get you to know certain principles so you live a life that is scheduled and disciplined so you can feel high all the time. A couple gets married. God knows you'll lose your rhythm there. I mean your habits, the new habits, a new place to live, and a new schedule. And before you know it, you've lost your rhythm. And before you know it, you're backslidden. A baby is born. And everything is different. You lose your rhythm. I recall one of the finest men we had in our church in Texas was a chiropractor. And he's one of the finest men we had. But something happened. He and his wife, they weren't up in years, but they're getting close to 40. And they thought they wouldn't have any more children. And all of a sudden, that chiropractor's wife found out she was expecting a baby. I got worried about you girls tonight when you're singing it. One of the songs says, "We're expecting." Part of that song says, "We're expecting." I want to talk, Cindy. I want to see you after church tonight, please. I'm talking about Cindy Howes, not Cindy Lale. But anyway, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, I just lost my rhythm. But this doctor, chiropractor, when you have a baby, if your baby is, if you're older and you have the baby, you're more fastidious. And especially if you've got a little extra money. They had a lovely home. They were pretty well off and probably somewhat wealthy. And all of a sudden, the church nursery wasn't as clean as it used to be. And so they wouldn't bring their baby to the nursery. Why, good night. I'd rather have my baby in God's house in a dirty nursery than a clean home when church is going on. Why? Because your baby ought to have the same rhythm. Why, when Becky, our first child, was born, Ms. Howes was still at home. Becky is 6 days old. I took her to church. Ms. Howes couldn't even go yet. And took Becky to church. Put her in the nursery. You should have seen our nursery. I mean, the Better Business Bureau and the health department would have condemned that thing. And I put her in there. You say, why? I wanted her to get used to going to church when she was born. That's exactly why. You should have seen that nursery at Miller Road Baptist Church. Had a room 20 by 20. We had one lady in there as nursery keeper, and we had as high as 80 babies in there at one time. And it was right to the right, as I was preaching, it was right over here to the right of me. And you could hear the war going on. Seemed like the plagues of the tribulation period were turned loose inside there. And Mrs. Sawyer, isn't it amazing you remember a name like that? Mrs. Sawyer was the nursery keeper. And we didn't take our baby to the nursery. We opened the door that far, stuck the baby in, closed the door, and prayed for an hour and a half. And Mrs. Sawyer was the only keeper we had. I'm talking about as many as 80 babies. She was a one-eyed lady, too. Now, she was not one-eyed when she started taking care of the nursery, but she got one-eyed while she was taking care of the nursery. But I'm saying, this doctor, this chiropractor, very, very well-known man, and a man of stature in town, a leader, a civic leader in town. He and his wife decided that they wouldn't bring their baby to church, and so they lost their rhythm. They never missed Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. All of a sudden, they lost their rhythm. One stayed home with the baby on Sunday morning, one stayed home on Sunday night, and they just took turns like that. And the baby was home. They lost their rhythm. Wasn't long they backslid. Wasn't long they went back to the liberal church they came from several years before. Why? They lost their rhythm. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let the devil take your rhythm in the summertime. Don't let him do it. Two teachers in Howes Anderson College 2 years ago weren't teaching. We hired them to work at the college. And they weren't teaching anymore. And they were working the summertime because we want to keep on paying them. And they decided to criticize the folks that pay them. Brother, if you're going to criticize somebody, don't take their money. And don't use the buildings that they built. And you didn't have a thing to do with building or purchasing. Don't use that to cut down the people that provide the buildings.
And don't use the students that you didn't have anything to do with getting to come to the college to cut down the people that got the students for you so you could have a salary. But these two young men decided that they're going to be critical of the administration. And they got critical of my sermons. They lost their rhythm. One of our men, he's here tonight, he worked with them out there, came to me, said, "I can't work with them." I called one of the men in, and I said, "Look, you can't do that." He said, "I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong." But he lost his rhythm. He lost his rhythm. Never got back with us again. This year he's gone. Why? He lost his rhythm. And you can lose your rhythm. And you can become a disgruntled. And you can become dissatisfied. And you can become a critic. You keep that rhythm. That's one thing you never should sit around and talk. And don't sit around your office and listen to a griper. Tell them to shut up. You've got something to do. Keep your rhythm going. Keep your rhythm going. Keep your rhythm going. A lady has a long illness. She can't help it. But she loses her rhythm. And before you know it, she's backslidden. A nation marches to the promised land. And they keep going. And they live on rhythm. And they keep marching. And they eat the manna the same time. And they get up the same time. And they march the same time. And they live by rhythm. They live by habit. They live by schedule. They live by discipline. And they march to the promised land, the door of the promised land. But all of a sudden, they lose their rhythm. They said, "We can't keep going. We're going to go back." They lose their rhythm. For 40 years, they wander in the wilderness. And those people over 20 who said that never saw the promised land. Now, God has a promised land for you. God has an ultimate for you. God has a Canaan for you. But you'll not reach your Canaan if you lose that rhythm. Keep on going. Keep on marching. Keep on going. A college student drops out of school for a semester. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't drop out for a semester. No, I'll guarantee you, 75% of all the college students that drop out for one semester drop out forever. Guarantee you. Don't do it. If you can't take a full load, you take a half load, but you take some kind of a load. If you can't take 16 hours, take 10 hours. You can't take 10 hours, take 8 hours. You can't take 8 hours, take 5 hours, but you keep on going. To keep the rhythm, keep the schedule. Don't lose your rhythm. Abraham. A famine comes. Abraham moves to Egypt. One of the most tragic things in the world is when a fellow follows the dollar. Years ago, we had a real recession here in this area. And jobs were hard to find. The steel mills, as you know, were our paycheck for years. And all of a sudden, the steel mills began to close down. And it's not like it used to be here. When I came here 31 years ago, anybody could find a job. I mean, if you had a pulse rate, you could have a job. And I'm talking about $13, $14, $15 an hour. Just anybody could find a job for that. But what happened? People said, "Okay, we're going to go to Dallas." Some folks went out to Odessa, Texas. Some went out to Midland, Texas. Some went to Houston from this church, from this area. Why? "Wherever it leads, I'll go. Wherever George Washington leads, I'll go. I'll follow my dollar. I love it so." And they follow the dollar. Oh, there's no reason to leave someplace to get a job. He said, "I'm going to make a living. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And so what happened? They lost their rhythm. They went to Dallas. They went to Oklahoma City. They went to Houston. They went to Odessa. They went to Midland. Now, we're better shape now than Odessa. Odessa's gone. Midland's like a graveyard. Dallas is the worst shape she's been in her history. Houston's worse than Dallas. And where are they? Now they're gone somewhere else. You lose your rhythm. "Oh, you sit with the house. I've got to take care of my family." No, all you got to do is face God. Die and face God. That's all you've got to do for sure. But you ought to keep that rhythm. Keep that rhythm. Don't lose the rhythm. Abraham, he left the land of Canaan. And because of a famine in the land, not a recession, not a depression, but a famine, and lost his rhythm, went down to Egypt. While he was in Egypt, listen to me, met this little gal Hagar, hired Hagar to be a maid for Abraham and Sarah. Took Lot with him, his nephew, adopted son, took Lot with him. They lost their rhythm. They lost their self-discipline. They lost their schedule. And what happened? They came back. But they brought the little gal with them. And after a while, Abraham got her pregnant, and she had a child by Abraham. And his name was Ishmael, half Egyptian and half Jewish or Hebrew. And that's what the Arabs are. And the whole Arab nation sprung up.
And that's the trouble in the Middle East right now. I'm simply saying that Abraham caused all the trouble, and Lot got himself also backslidden, and he went down to Sodom because Sodom reminded him of Egypt, and all because they lost the rhythm. Lot had the city of Sodom was destroyed by fire and brimstone. And Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt, and he and his two daughters went down to a little place called Zoar. And there they were. He got one of his daughters pregnant. She had a boy named Moab. He got the second daughter pregnant. She had a boy named Ammon. And the Moabites and the Ammonites were born, a heathen nation. Oh, why? Tell you exactly why. Abraham lost his rhythm. He 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 lost his rhythm. You lose your rhythm, you're on your way to backsliding. Now, there's several things I want to say to you. Number one is, have a goal in life and keep moving towards it. And I mean, always keep moving. Listen to this. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Three things. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's they shall fly. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run. They shall walk and not faint. They shall walk. All right? If you wait upon the Lord, what do? You're either walking or flying or running. Didn't say they shall sit and not be tired. Didn't say they shall stand and not be weary. Now, if you're not flying towards your goal, you run toward the goal. If you're not running towards your goal, you walk toward the goal. I heard Dan Mendenhall say something last Monday. One of the best things I ever heard in my life. Dan Mendenhall said to me, he said, Dr. Hiles, I like your preaching because you tell your people to keep moving. He said, I tell people if I were taking a trip by car from the East Coast to the West Coast, and if I got somewhere on that trip and my car broke down and it wouldn't drive and couldn't drive it anywhere, he said I'd push it 6 inches every day toward California. He said, I want to be closer to California every night when I go to bed than it was when I got up that morning. Boy, I like that. I'd push it 6 inches more. Push it 6 inches closer to California. I'm saying, have a goal in life and keep moving toward it. If I were a college student, I guarantee you, there wouldn't be one single day I was in Howells Anderson College I wasn't getting closer to my degree. I might be, after one semester, 20 hours closer to my degree. I might be 10 hours closer. I might be 1 hour closer, but I'd be moving toward my degree. Don't break your rhythm. Don't break your rhythm. Now, I know what you're doing. Yeah, you're going to yawn. Yeah, I understand that. And go right ahead. Go on vacation. Don't go to church. Don't read your Bible on vacation. That's what you're going to do. But somebody warns you, you're going to backslide. And you're not exempt. You're no better Christian than Abraham. You're not a better Christian than Moses. You're not a better Christian than David. But the Psalm 1 says something, too. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. See, the people that are the gossips are the ones that sit and talk a lot. They go to somebody's office and sit and talk. Sit and talk. Running people don't gossip. Flying people don't gossip. Moving people don't gossip. The critic of the critic and the slander, he's the guy that's not running, not walking, or not moving, or not flying. But they that stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of the scornful. It didn't say they that run in the shoes of the scornful. Runners don't scorn. No, they don't scorn. First place, they're breathing too hard to scorn. You never were running in a marathon with somebody and you run about 25 miles and you say, hey, buddy, I got something I want to tell you. You're doing good to stay alive while you're running. Keep on moving. Number two, have a cause in life and keep at it. I'm going to tell you a story. But first, I want to make a statement. I don't know what it is, but I'm trying to think of one right now. The statement is this. Work at your... Have a cause in life. Have something bigger than you are for which you live. Something higher than you are that lifts you out of yourself, makes you forget yourself, and lets you be another self, that you lost yourself in a cause. And then work at it some every day, even went on vacation. Years ago. It's been years ago because we haven't taken a vacation in many years. But years ago, Mrs. John Rice and John R. Rice and Mrs. Hiles and I went on a cruise together. They had about 1,100 passengers on the cruise and they had an auditorium seat, 1,100 people. Well, they had general meetings there that give you instructions about what to do in case a fire broke out or in case a leak in the boat, you know, all those encouraging things. And we'd have general meetings. Well, sometimes they'd have things you shouldn't have at those meetings, and so we sat on the back row back in the back so we could tiptoe out in case something questionable came. I did. Ms. Hiles would stay, but I went on out. And but anyway, we're back on the back. There's John R. Rice, Mrs. Hiles, Dr. Brother Hiles, back on the back row. The guy out there was talking. Everybody's listening. John Rice stands up. Just stands up. Walks toward the aisle. Starts all the way down the aisle. Comes down to the front row. Doesn't tell anybody. Everybody's staring at him. Mrs. Rice said, John R.'s lost his mind. He's lost his mind. Fell on the platform, was looking to see what he was going to do. And Dr. Rice stopped at the front row. And you know how he looked. He had an eye problem. He looked like this. He always chewed on his legs. Looked like this. He did that at the front row. Then the second row. Then the third row. He was doing like this. Then he'd go to the second row. Ms. Rice said, John R. is going crazy. He's lost his mind. We didn't know what in the world was going on. He stopped at every row and counted. He came back to the back. Mrs. Rice said, she called him John R. said, John R., what were you doing? He said, counting the black folks. She said, what? He says, counting the black folks. She said, why in the world does it matter to you how many black folks are on this cruise? He said, I'm writing an article for the Sword of the Lord. All black people can make it if they'll work. By the way, so can brown and white people do the same thing. Because black people can afford to be on this cruise. Some black folks are making some money. And he said, I'm writing an article about that. On a cruise. On a cruise. He should have been playing checkers and shuffleboard and shooting those discs that fly up there in the sky. Trap shooting. Not crap shooting now. Trap shooting. And I see you know what I'm talking about. But what was the guy doing? He was working. He's working. He hadn't forgotten. Get away from it and forget it all. No, don't do that. No. Listen to me. If you get away from it, don't forget it all. No. You have a cause, and I don't care where you are on vacation, you do something about that. Listen about that cause every day. Don't take a vacation from God. Don't take a vacation from prayer. Don't take a vacation from the Bible. Don't take a vacation from tithing. Don't take a vacation from serving God. Don't take a vacation from tithing. Don't take a vacation from studying. Don't take a vacation from tithing. But if you can't study and read the Bible and pray, don't take a vacation from tithing. That's why the Lord said, let every one of you lay by Him in store, according to God to prosper Him, on the first day of the week. Why? Rhythm. You shouldn't mail your tithe in on Monday 1 week, Wednesday the next week give it in the offering. No, rhythm. First day of the week. Listen to me. Hey, listen, I'm preaching up here. I have you in mind. Listen. Stay in the rhythm. Don't lose your rhythm. Have a cause and keep at it. Work at it all the time. Number three. When you get back, you get right back in it. Don't you take a week after vacation. Well, everything's not so... It's just how hard to get back in the saddle. Don't jump up in the saddle. Get right back in the saddle. Don't come back on Sunday night after vacation. Come back on Saturday. Get back in that Sunday school class. Get back on that bus route. If you got a two-week vacation, take the middle Sunday off, but no more. And when you get back, jump right in the saddle. Come back from camp. Jump right in the saddle. That's what I was saying a while ago. You going to camp's no good if it's going to make you spiritual. Revivals are no good if they're going to make you spiritual. No, they ought to make you scheduled to do the things you do all the time so you can stay spiritual all the time. Number four, have a schedule in life and live by it. You're on vacation? On a honeymoon? Weekend trip, whatever it is, live by schedule. Don't wonder what you're going to do. Now, follow me carefully. If you're out of town, you go to church. Now, if you're in Los Angeles, don't go to Mr. Shuler's church. He doesn't have one. But don't go to what he calls the church. Don't go to it. Find a good old-fashioned fundamental church and go to it. And don't just stop when you see a Baptist church on the road somewhere. You find out before you leave. Where's a good red-hot church? Call the office. We'll help you find out. But stay in church. And Sunday morning. And Sunday night. And Wednesday night. And then during the summer. Again, I say, tithe. And don't wait till you get back off vacation to tithe. Tithe regularly. Payday regularly. First day of the week. What do you say for the house? What if I'm going to be gone some Sunday? Tithe before you leave for the next tithe for the second Sunday before you leave. All summer long, have a certain time to read your Bible. While you're on vacation, have a time to read your Bible. When I had pneumonia for 3 weeks, I lived by schedule best I could. Sometimes I was too sick, but I tried to read the Bible on schedule. I prepared 13 or 14 sermons. I studied on schedule. Why was that? Didn't want to backslide. Why? Didn't want to lose my rhythm. On vacation, have a set time to pray. On vacation, have a set time to read your Bible. A set time to pray. Have a set time to go soul winning. You say soul winning on vacation? You heard it right. That's right. You have no right to take a vacation from the Bible. You have no right to take a vacation from prayer. You have no right to take a vacation from soul winning. Have a set time to go soul winning. Oh, you say, Brother High, you're taking all the fun out of vacation. No, I'm putting the fun back in when you return from vacation. I'm trying to keep you from backsliding. By the way, eat regularly on vacation. When I'm out of town, I eat regularly. 10 o'clock in the morning, noon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night. And get up about 2 o'clock in the morning for my regular midnight snack. Eat on schedule. I know some people so unaccustomed to eating, they'll bite their lip while they're doing nothing. Get up on schedule. On vacation? Yeah, get up on schedule. If you have to change your schedule, okay, but live by schedule all the time. Keep your rhythm. If that takes all the fun out, then don't go. I want to say two or three things here also. Don't ever quit your bus route. Don't ever quit your Sunday school class. Brother, if you've got it going right, don't change anything. If you're in a winning streak, don't change your batting order. Well, I was talking the other day, one time, to a professional baseball player. He said, if we're in a winning streak, I don't change socks. He said, I don't change underwear. If we're in a winning streak, I don't change anything. I don't shave. I don't bathe. I could tell he'd probably won 45 games in a row. If you're in a winning streak, don't change anything. Most of you are not going to listen, not going to do a thing I say tonight, but I'll guarantee you one thing. You do what I'm saying tonight, and you'll be as good a Christian out yonder 25 years from now as you are now, and you'll keep growing in grace. Classic example, and I'll close. It's an old story. Classic example. I won't tell the whole story because I've told it often. I got a letter several years ago. I always call the fellow's name Bill Tate. It's not his name. Who was Bill Tate? Briefly, I'll say Bill Tate was one of the two or three best members we had at the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. Never missed Sunday morning. Never missed Sunday night. Never missed Wednesday night. Never missed our Thursday night soul-winning visitation program. Always there. He taught a junior class. She taught a primary Sunday school class. Great people. Handsome couple. If I chose for you back in those days, and I was only in my 20s back in those days, and early 30s, 31, 32, if I chose for you a model church member at the Miller Road Baptist Church, I couldn't have chosen better than Bill and Mrs. Tate. Used to sit back over here all the time. One Wednesday night, I noticed that Bill Tate was not in church. I asked Brother Jim Lyons, my associate pastor then, I said, do you see Bill Tate and his wife here? Looked over where they usually sit, next to the door. They weren't there. He looked over the whole auditorium. He said, "Preacher, I don't think they're here." But they came back the next Wednesday night, and the next, and then missed one, then came back for two, then missed one, then came back for three, then missed one, then came back for one, then missed one. Don't you do it, folks. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. You're messing with backsliding. Don't you do it. Every time the hinges squeak, walk through the doors. Then after a while, Bill Tate got a promotion. It meant he had to be gone on Sunday night some. One Sunday night, I looked over and I said, and by the way, this chiropractor I mentioned a while ago too, he became one of the national officers, one of the officers of the Texas Chiropractic Association. Took him out of church on Sunday. That was one of the reasons he backslid. But this Bill Tate, he got a promotion. He had to go on trips sometimes. Sunday night he wasn't there. And I said, "Jim, do you see Bill Tate?" He said, "No." Looked around the whole building. He couldn't see Bill Tate. On Sunday morning, one time on Sunday morning, he was gone. But he came back the next Sunday, and the next, and the next. Then he was gone one, then came back for four. Then was gone for another one, and then came back for two. Then was gone for two, and then came back for five. It's like some of you. Like some of you. Who are flirting with backsliding. And the day came. He walked in my office one Saturday. He had his Sunday school book with him. Had his Sunday school record book with him. Junior boys class. He said, "Pastor, I'm resigning my Sunday school class." I said, "Bill, don't do it. Don't do it, Bill. Don't do it." I said, "Bill, something's happened to you. You're not what you used to be. I can see it on your face. And by the way, you can. I can tell you weeks before a person backslides." A Sunday school teacher in this church came to me less than a year ago. Resigned his Sunday school class. I looked at him in that off my office that day. And I said, "I'll guarantee you, you'll be disgruntled within a year." "No, no way. No way." Within a year, he got disgruntled. No longer with us. Why? Lost his rhythm. Back to Bill Tate. He said, "Pastor, I want to resign my class." I said, "Bill, don't do it. Bill, you're not coming to church like you used to. Not soul winning like you used to." I said, "Bill, you lost something." "Oh, no." He said, No, I'm just as good a Christian as everyone." You know why? Because you don't have when you're not spiritual, you don't have the spirituality to judge whether you're spiritual or not. I never forget the day he tossed that book on my desk and walked out, resigned his Sunday school class. 22 years passed. I got a letter one day in my office right over here. The letter was from the Huntsville Penitentiary, Huntsville, Texas. I opened it, looked at the name. It said Bill Tate. "Are you listening?" It said Bill Tate. Bill Tate. I couldn't think who he was. By the way, Bill Tate's a fictitious name. The story is true. Totally true, but the name is fictitious. I wouldn't dare call his name. I said, "Bill Tate." "Bill Tate." "Yeah." Tall, good-looking guy. Little short wife, about 4'11", just as cute as could be. One of the prettiest little women you ever saw in your life. Both of them dressed like they stepped out of a Vogue magazine or a clothing catalog. I began to read. "Dear Brother Hiles, you may not remember me. My name is Bill Tate. I was saved at Miller Road Baptist Church. You baptized my wife and me both. I remember the day we first came and you met us out in front of the building as we came from the parking lot across the street in the shopping center. I remember the Sunday school class I taught and the primary girls class my wife taught." He said, "Brother Hiles, I'm in the state penitentiary." He said, "I found my wife in the car making love to the high school football coach in a shopping center across the street, close by the high school football stadium." He said, "I got my truck and I went home. I got my gun. I came back and I killed that coach. And I murdered my wife." I couldn't believe what I heard. One of the best soul winners we had. One of the finest Sunday school teachers we had.
the kind that had parties with his boys, the kind that visited his absentees. I couldn't believe what I heard, what I read. He said, "Brother Hiles, I'm serving a life sentence for double murder, the Huntsville Penitentiary." My mind wandered back when I was his pastor. Not a finer couple in this room tonight, not a better Christian couple in this room, better Christians tonight than Bill and Mrs. Tate were. He said, "You may not want to ever write me, but he said, I'd love to hear from you." Signed, Bill Tate. A P.S. was down at the bottom of the letter. It all started, Brother Hiles. That morning, I resigned my Sunday school class. He lost his rhythm. He lost his rhythm. I beg you, don't lose yours this summer. I beg you. I'm not trying to keep a church member. I'm trying for you to keep your life in tune with Christ. Stay in the Bible. Do it on schedule. Stay on your knees. Pray on schedule. Keep witnessing. Go soul winning on schedule. Whatever routine is broken, do everything you can, keep it on schedule. Eat on schedule. Sleep on schedule. Get up on schedule. Read your Bible on schedule. Pray on schedule. Tithe on schedule. Don't lose your rhythm. Don't lose your rhythm. I would not have been more surprised if I'd have gotten a letter from Ray Young and Mrs. Young, or Eddie and Miss Lapina, or Jeff and Mrs. Owens, than I was. If somebody told me one of your members at Miller Road, former members of the state penitentiary, killed his wife and killed her lover, Bill Tate than the last one I've ever suspected. Everybody in this room is a potential backslider and a potential disgruntled. Everybody. Keep your rhythm. 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 Don't lose your rhythm. Our Father. I preached a lot better sermons, but never one more needed than the one I preached tonight. I pray you'd prevent backsliding. Don't let the devil use the summertime to steal the joy and the spirituality of our people.